Our scripture for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark on this first day of Lent and the first chapter of Mark, where the Gospel writer says, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.' And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.'" May these words from our Holy Scripture work in our hearts and lives today. As I said, this is the first Sunday of Lent, and the scripture reading we just heard is the gospel reading for this Sunday. Now, I've never done this before, but this year I'm going to use this scripture only for the entire season of Lent, this scripture from Mark. We will move slowly through and explore the rich themes found in the passage, because there is a lot here that Mark has packed in. And along the way, I'm hoping we'll hear a few other voices share their reflection on this passage. Today, I'm going to do a short introduction to the series by looking at just the first 9 words of the passage. But I wanted to tell you about an experience I had just recently. I was called by one of the nurses from the Foothills Country Hospice, which happens to me occasionally. A patient there, not from our communities of faith, had asked to see a United Church minister, and because I'm on the list, they often call me. This happens when someone comes into hospice who has had a connection with the United Church but no longer attends a United Church. So I went up that afternoon to see this person. And the nurse, who I've known for quite some time, to my surprise, greeted me with a big hug, and we had a little chat. Then she took me in and introduced me to the patient, who was very lucid and very responsive. So as we chatted, I asked them to tell me their story, which most people are really pleased to do. And it is often the case that they begin by telling me where they were born, something about their family of origin, where they had moved over their lifetime, their chosen family, where they've traveled, and something of what they've done in their lives, perhaps their work or volunteer work or time at home. It's always a relatively simple and common story for such a long and rich life. But when I ask people about their stories, regardless of what else you might hear, you can almost always be guaranteed to hear at the very least where people were born, where they come from. Somehow it seems important that we say that, because we all come from somewhere, and where we come from matters to us and to others. Probably one of the most common questions we ask another person when we're getting to know them is where they're from, because it matters. So it is that Mark, in his gospel, tells us where Jesus comes from before he tells us anything else. It's the first sentence he writes about Jesus the man. Now, Mark is the earliest of the gospels in the Bible, definitely the shortest, and the writer is very terse and to the point. He only includes what he thinks is necessary to tell the story, and no more. So it struck me right away when I read the passage that Mark found it important to tell us that in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, Nazareth of Galilee is a very small hamlet that's off any main road in Galilee. It's about 26 kilometers west of the Sea of Galilee, and in Jesus' day, Nazareth was not even notable. Nobody really paid much attention to it, and nobody really went to it unless they had reason to go there. It was probably a very, very small settlement. There was a British-Israeli archaeologist in the early 2000s, her name is Yardina Alexandra, who excavated the small settlement of Nazareth and said, it was just a little hamlet, and the idea that such a leader as Jesus came out of Nazareth was surprising and worth noting, she said. In the Gospel of John, when the disciple Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus, Nathanael responds, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, why don't you come and see for yourself? And later in Mark's Gospel, Jesus returns to his hometown and goes to the synagogue to teach. And it says this, he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And it says, they took offense at him. Jesus not only came from nowhere important, but for the first 30 or so years of his life, he didn't seem to be any more respected for who he was than anyone else. Even the people in his hometown thought he was being a little bit too big for his britches. In other words, for all of those years, he was a relatively unknown nobody, even in his hometown. Now we know now he was a nobody who did amazing things, even though the people around him didn't know who he was, that he came from God and would return to God. He ended up being a man who some thought was amazing and followed him. Others thought he was crazy. And others paid no attention to him at all and still don't. His family had no status. His town had no status, and he had no status. Ultimately, where Jesus came from didn't define who he was. He rose above people's opinions of him to pursue and teach the truth, to bring healing and restoration to the world, to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God was all around us. Where are you from? It's tempting to think that we don't come from anywhere special, that our humble, occasionally dysfunctional beginnings limit our possibility. And it would be tempting to think that we cannot make a significant difference in the world. But that would be not true. Because ultimately, we too have come from God and will return to God. And in between those two events, we are called to rise above whatever our beginnings were, to put our stamp on the world in our own unique way. Mark, I believe, was making this point. In those days before Jesus did anything, he came from out of nowhere. He had no status until God called him and sent him into the world. It doesn't matter where we came from, what we have to overcome, or what people think of us. It matters where we're going and what we make of our lives. I was encouraged in one of my Lenten devotions this week to look at my life like it was a movie or a novel, and to look over my life from this vantage point, to notice all of the details of my life and see it as God might see it, all of it. It's kind of an interesting exercise if you want to try it out. Our lives have taken twists and turns we never expected. We have overcome obstacles that have challenged us, and we have reveled in some amazing mountaintop experiences. We have made mistakes and learned. We have tried things and failed. And along the way, our lives have touched people and made a difference. And other lives, important people in our lives, have touched us. And at the same time, we have lost relationships that were important to us. Regardless where we have been, we need to look forward. and see how we would like the rest of our lives to be written, to play out. Where have we come from? And more importantly, where are we going? Lent is often a time of reflection, of preparation, of discernment, and of enlightenment if we are prepared to engage in the journey. And as always, we start with where we've come from, but we don't stop there. There is so much more to explore. So Godspeed to all who will embark on this grand adventure of life.